It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
You're 50 years old and you still dress like a Teletubby.
Point taken.
I'm going to be horny all night with these things.
What?
I don't know how you open up a show with that, man.
Wow.
Wow. Hey. Holy moly. Thanks?
Thanks for what?
Thanks for all you do? Thanks for all the wonderful, wonderful things that my crew here, my friends, have done for me already. My goodness. I'm not 50 anymore, John Cena and Chris Jericho. I'm 51. I'm 51, which means I'm definitely, if I wasn't already on the wrong side, I'm definitely on the wrong side. Good afternoon, everybody. Woo! Welcome aboard. They say it's your birthday. Yeah, it is.
It's your birthday, Chris Russell.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to slowly remind you every segment that it is.
Your birthday's in November, right? Is that right? I think I have it in my calendar.
You have it on
Matt,
your calendar?
Your birthday is in March, right? And then we got to find out. We'll find out.
When's Austin's birthday?
Austin,
you still there?
Austin in Annapolis.
Is Austin still behind the glass, or did he? Oh, Austin.
Well, it's funny that you.
What?
It's funny that I called him Austin. What?
Yeah.
It's funny that I called him Austin earlier this week by accident, or maybe it was late last week. Double A Athens in Annapolis is here, and he listen. I walked into the studio and I've got a 12-pack of Diet Mountain Dew, which is one of the best presents ever. A huge birthday balloon that, Maddie, you brought this in, right? I've already clonked my head on once, and I'm probably going to do it 10 more times.
Good.
There is a Great. Huge dome of cupcakes out there and some sort of birthday cake with like red strawberry-ish.
The cheesecake.
Okay, there you go. And then, Matt, you wrapped me a present that I haven't opened yet in the most Matt Essig birthday paper wrapping design and style that you possibly can.
If I'm being honest, I figured what wrapping paper would you really, you kind of feel for? What would make you
What would I notice, right?
And, well, but I mean, I figured, you know what? You're getting older, so dinosaur.
Yeah, you know, that's a fair point. But this is so much you don't even know it. Like, this is like a shirt that you wear. Okay, I'll take a picture and put it on Twitter.
That as a shirt.
Well, exactly.
Well, your shirt today, I told him when he came in, is amazing. It has popsicles on
it. I mean, he's got all sorts of things going on there. You'd think it was like the 4th of July. But anyway, so I walk in, right, and I have I have an interview immediately to do right away with our guy Derek Forrest at DC News Now. So I get done, and I know everybody's waiting for me, and I appreciate it. I'm, you know, very, very, very appreciative. So then Austin in Annapolis, Double A, Athens in Annapolis, I haven't put a picture yet up of it, but he had been promising something when I was mad that you stole the Jaden Daniels jerseys from me.
What?
And he had been promising, or from the show, you took it for a podcast that you apparently do, which, you know, okay.
That's...
and Austin, in quotations, in Annapolis, brought in a unbelievable gift. It's in a big, unbelievable. It's from Fanatics, and in it is a real life leather in-ring entrance, Stone Cold Steve Austin signed black leather vest with like the studs and SCSA on the side, and it's signed. And it's got all sorts of things on the back. We're going to put pictures up. I wore it to surprise Grant Paulson because I knew he would get the bit, and I did the whole you know, like Stone Cold's walkout music. I mean, first of all, I don't deserve any of this. Let me just be clear.
Oh, shut up.
Secondly,
you deserve it all, Chris Russell.
Secondly, I am beyond appreciative of such an unbelievably kind and generous and nice gift, and Athen and Annapolis is just the man, and he's just, you know, again, he is just a good human being, a great human being, and we're lucky to have him with us as our pal on this little journey that we call this radio show for 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday, 9 to 4 on the Team 980, 1 to 4 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. I still got to get to Maddie's present, and we have a radio show to do. We have a radio show to do, which, you know, we will do the whole birthday thing.
Oh, we will have some surprises throughout the show.
Oh, no.
Chris Russell.
Oh, no.
Oh, I promise you.
I don't know what's coming.
Don't think that this is just the end.
I don't want anything to do. The Commanders have made a roster move.
They have.
They've signed the following player to a practice squad coming to a theater near you. Justin Hollins, a defensive end. Yay. Congratulations. Okay. That being said, we have the radio show to do. Now, I've been making mention that Sam Cosmi was going to be on the show today. I was just told right before the show started that something came up at the facility. Sam's got to run to a meeting. And instead of joining us today, he's going to join us tomorrow at about 3:30. So,
happy birthday. We cleared out a spot for it.
Exactly.
We cleared out more time for Skits and Bits.
And there you go.
There
so
go.
Sam Cosmi will join us tomorrow afternoon, not this afternoon, which does mean we have more time for Skits and Bits. But I wanted to open up the show.
Yeah. There's only one way we can open it up.
You talked 24 hours ago about a huge game. And
massive.
We know the huge stage of Monday Night Football might not be the same exact stage that it once used to be, and ESPN and ABC have really divvied it up along with the NFL when they make these twin bill doubleheaders that are staggered start times. But make no mistake about it, there's still two games on Monday night, which is almost diminishing the special feel of Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
But I understand why they do it, because more games in primetime, more games that are somewhat unopposed, if not completely unopposed, makes them more money, more eyeballs, more everything, what have you. Unfortunately, the Commanders don't get to take complete center stage uninterrupted. And unfortunately, they're on the – well, maybe it's fortunate. They're on the road against Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, who are desperate, starving for a win, trying not to avoid 0-3. The question that I had for you out of the chute, obviously, it's still, again, that Monday Night Football stage. Obviously, it's still prime time. You're not the only show in town, but it is a big stage. Will the stage that is whatever it is of Monday Night Football be too big for Jaden Daniels and or the Washington Commanders?
Will it be too big?
Will it be too big?
Will they succumb to the pressure? It was what you're
asking?
Well,
you can answer it any way you want. That's why I left it generic, my friend.
I think, and people aren't going to like this, I do have my concerns about the quarterback going in, because the kid was so nervous his first game that he threw his first ever pass 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
That is fair.
And it was a fumble.
That is
so
fair. So, and that
there
was not and that was not prime time.
That
wasn't. And
it was
they
just
weren't
the first
even
game.
They weren't even like the number one 425 game in Tampa, because
no.
That was Dallas and Cleveland.
But look, I think it's natural to have nerves, right? This is the NFL. It's your first Monday night game. He's going to have nerves. Will it be too big is a different question. Will he have nerves? Yes. Will it be too big? No.
I think that's primed, an interesting way to put it.
I think they're primed and ready for the moment. I think internally, after their win last week and after what happened in week one, I think there is a quiet confidence that this team has that maybe no one outside the facility feels.
You know, I would say this. I feel much, much, much better that this stage comes in week 3 as opposed to week 1. Because if we were talking about week one Monday Night Football on the road against Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, all that, ABC, Troy Buck, Troy Aikman, you know, Joe Buck, what have you, Lisa Salters, all that jazz.
Lisa Salters is amazing, by the way.
I would, you know, if that was the case, I would say, yeah, it's probably too big of a stage. But yet, how do I say that when, you know, Saturday nights in Baton Rouge and playing in the SEC, like, you now, it's not the same as Monday Night Football. It's not the same as an NFL audience. But it's a pretty damn big stage because while there might not be as many eyeballs on TV watching, there are 35,000, 30,000 more eyeballs in the stands watching.
That's
able to boo you, able to cheer for you, able to get gaga over you. So I, in a way, I don't think Jaden Daniels, who some might describe as cool as a California cucumber.
That's how I feel about him.
I don't think he's going to go, Monday Night Football, oh my God.
I honestly expect the exact opposite. I expect to see his very best in this on this primetime stage.
I don't know if I can go that far.
Yeah, see, I think, and this is what I...
But I don't think he's going to crap his pants. I don't think he's going to have Hershey squirts in his underwear.
I don't know if they win the game or not, but I know that coming out of Monday night, the hype train that's already growing with him is going to be magnified by 1,000%.
Well,
his
what if,
first time
well,
in front of a national audience.
Let me ask you this, because you're a big slogan guy, you're a big believer, positive karma, all that stuff, except when you like start slaughtering people and chopping them down at their knees and say, no, guys, that slogan I told you about being at the mercy of the evaluator, now the evaluator stinks. Let me ask you this. What if, and again, this is not what anybody wants to see. This is not what the NFL wants to see. This is not what the world that's going to watch that game, certainly not what any Commanders fan wants to see. What if he really struggles on Monday night? What if
you
it just
how
doesn't
it goes,
go right?
Though. You know how it goes, because I don't know if you can tell by the coverage. The league wants this guy to be one of the faces.
Sure.
If he doesn't play well Monday, you know what the talk's going to be? Well, Washington, it's just, they don't have enough around them. Washington, Cliff Kingsbury can't call plays.
That's fair.
And their defense is bad.
I think
they're putting them in a bad spot. No matter what happens Monday night, it's not going to be Jaden's fault, because I think the world has already anointed him the best quarterback in this class. I think the world has already anointed him as the next big thing, and I think the world may be right. That's the thing.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. While I'm on that, and while I don't forget my train of thought on that, you know, do you have a different perception of Caleb Williams after the savage beating he took against a very aggressive, smart defense in D'Amico Ryans and the Texans?
It's hard to ask me that, because I actually know what the hell I'm talking about. I actually watched the game. See, your casual fan, your casual observer would say, oh, Caleb Williams has stunk up the joint through the first 2 weeks. Hadn't had a multi-touchdown game yet. Has he thrown a touchdown?
No, he hasn't thrown a touchdown.
So
none of them have.
None of them have. So I think the narrative surrounding him would be, oh, he's a bust and this and that. And when in reality, I mean, our guy, Shane Waldron, is absolutely, is that their OC, correct? Has left him out to dry completely. Their offensive line, overrated, not very good. They got manhandled on Sunday night.
Is that all on Waldron, or is that on Ryan Poles, the general manager?
I think it's probably on all parties involved, but
Is that on the offensive line for not being better?
To expect Caleb to be able to thrive under the circumstances is kind of crazy.
Thrive might be a strong word.
From play calling to personnel.
I think most people looked at that game and said two things. One, if you walked away from that game Sunday night
and
in Houston,
no one was open
saying
either,
Caleb sucked, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, Caleb struggled mostly because the offensive line and or the ferocious attack of Houston. But as we've come to find out over many years around here, right, and people should know this, just because you give up sacks does not mean it's all on the offensive line. Now, I haven't gone back and watched the All-22 and seen, okay, did he have this, did he have that? I'm just talking about in its simplest form. The narrative emanating from that game last Sunday night and afterwards was, man, I feel bad for Caleb Williams. Boy, the Bears, they just, I mean, he took a beating. And how is he going to recover? And how is he going to bounce back, and so on and so forth? So I guess my question is, Like, is there a chance that's the narrative late Monday night slash Tuesday nationally and locally if Jaden gets lit up like a Christmas tree 5-6 times, throws his first two picks, maybe loses a fumble, and the Commanders lose 37-13?
I could.
Which is about as bad as you can get, right?
I would say so. I think if it plays out that way, I mean, like I said, the narrative's going to be poor kid. Washington's got to do more to put more around him. The excuses for Jaden are baked in.
You think, and when that, I say that, you when think I that'll say that, be more the narrative,
yes,
than
he sucks.
See,
when I say the excuses are baked in, it's not me trying to trash Jaden at all. You know, you all know I'm the biggest Jaden stan there is. But I think there is something to what I say of the NFL world is ready for this guy to elevate himself into that category of Lamar, Josh Allen, Burrow, Mahomes. I think he's got the swagger. He's got the bravado. He doesn't have annoying parents.
Yet.
Well, it's just,
I mean, his mom allegedly said some things.
All right, Tom,
you know,
Lavero.
What have you. No, I'm just saying. I mean.
But no, I think the world.
I mean, she seems normal so far.
And the kid is just wired the right way, says all the right things.
Not Derek Forrest, daddy.
There's never been. He hasn't given you a reason yet, I guess, outside of the Ayuk drama.
Right.
To look at him with a side eye.
So yeah, I don't even blame him for any of that.
No, I don't.
I mean, the only thing that I worry about was, you know, that he was mad at Topgolf and he was telling his agent, whatever. I mean, here's the bottom line. Again, the reason why I bring up the Caleb Williams last Sunday night thing is because, yes, people said, man, I feel bad for Caleb Williams. He got his ass beat, whatever. Savage beating, brutal, you know, all. But Caleb Williams also threw a couple of interceptions. And what people don't know ever when they're watching a live NFL game, unless they can, again, slow it down and really hone in, is you don't always know whether it's on the quarterback or the offensive line or a combination or the play call or the play design or the receivers or what have you, right? There's a lot of things that can go wrong. So again, perception is often greater than reality. And what I'm wondering, not worried about, what I'm wondering is, again, will that perception, if they play really poorly, and if Jaden plays poorly, like Caleb Williams did last Sunday against a desperate team, but not as good of a defense, but against a desperate team at home on Monday Night Football, will the narrative in any way, shape, or form be, hey, man, you know what? Jaden Daniels wasn't ready for his first time in primetime. And I think I agree with you. First and foremost, and this is why, I remember, we did this before the season. I said there's more pressure on Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury will be painted the villain. He will be painted the incompetent boob, whatever you want to call it. He will first be on the firing line by all the number nerds, by all the analytics amigos, by all the people that know it down in mommy's basement that think they know more than, you know, anybody else does about how incompetent he is and how he set up Jaden Daniels to fail and how he did. And maybe Cliff Kingsbury will do some really poor things. I don't know. I don't know how this game is going to play out. The bottom line is I do hope that the narrative on Tuesday is, hey, man, Jaden Daniels played well. Jaden Daniels acquitted himself pretty well. He doesn't have enough around him, but look out for this Washington team. Look out for this Washington team.
That's what you hope.
And it might not just be next year. It might be later on this year.
That's the hope, and I think this is what we kind of led with yesterday. I think it's a massive game. People are going to try to downplay it because it's week three and it's so early in the season. It's massive because I said it. I played at a terrible Division III football program with a bad head coach that said one good thing. Perception is 99% reality. If they go into Cincinnati and win, the perception of this team changes completely.
Totally different.
The reality is still the same. They're in a rebuild, but it's a good early season win. If they go in and lose and get their face kicked in, the perception's going to be, oh, Cliff Kingsbury's offense got off to a decent start the first 2 weeks, but they're bogging down. It doesn't have enough around him. All of the baked-in excuses that I said Jaden has, I think it's going to come from this game. This is a narrative-setting week. You get to set the narrative of how you're going to be perceived moving forward after this week.
I agree. All right, so here's the question for you guys at 301-230-0980. Will the stage of Monday Night Football be too big for Jaden Daniels and or the Commanders? And it could be a different answer for Jaden versus the Commanders, because that's one thing we haven't really gotten into, the whole rest of the team. We'll explore that. Plus, we'll also ask, how do the Commanders get the best out of Jaden Daniels from the jump, all game long, from the start, not just in the second half? Because that's been a little bit of an issue here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Man, every day I'm taking it to the limit. Oh, the Eagles. Maddie knows how to get right to my heartstrings. Also, who brought in the pizza? CK?
How about that?
Chris, the old boss man.
That's what happens when you're a big, silly, successful midday host, Chris. You get the boss. You open up the boss's wallet, and the boss gets you boss stuff.
Boss stuff.
Because he's the boss.
Big, bad boss man stuff. Now, thanks to everybody, obviously. I mean, everybody's been so kind. Everybody coming out saying happy birthday and all that stuff. I appreciate everybody who's reached out on Twitter and Facebook and text and all that. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Getting old sucks. I was up. You guys made fun of me for sending texts at 4:30 in the morning yesterday morning. I was up probably, I don't know, 4 hours overnight, something like that. First of all, I drank like a fish yesterday, and not alcohol. I just keep drinking and drink. And then I wonder why I got to wake up at night. But then I sit there, and I literally cannot get stuff off my mind. I don't know. I got to start getting on my phone, because every time I'm on my phone and I'm tired, my eyes just, and I wind up passing out. That's what I got to start doing. Instead, I just lay there and I'm like scratching my head, scratching my neck, wondering if like something's going to bite me or something's going to, anything. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Anyway, nobody needs to hear about that stuff. I'm just pointing it out because it's all part of getting old, as everybody that is old understands. Now, you youngest in charge bucks don't understand what this is like, right? You just sleep like a baby. Right? You don't even need your diaper to be changed, right?
never mind. I'm not even going to say what I was going to say. But I thank you for opening up. This is what I was doing late last night. I was continuing what I did during the show yesterday with these numbers. Me and the analytics amigos are one and the same.
You're going to be in mommy's basement soon, hanging out with
We have gotten real close.
I'm just teasing about the mommy's basement thing and the analytics.
If you happen to live in your mother's basement, but are a fan of the show, it's fine.
I'm just teasing because I know people. Look, I love analytics. I love numbers. I love trends. I love statistics.
I like numbers with context.
I try and figure out the context. Yeah. Figure out the narrative. It's like, I'll give you a perfect example before we get back to the show. Last week, you came in and said, oh, Daron Payne and John Allen. I think you said John Allen too, but maybe you just said Daron Payne. Daron Payne played great, 10th in ESPN pass rush win rate. And I was like, okay, here's the deal. If you read how they judge that, Daron Payne was 10th best in the NFL among defensive tackles in winning his pass rush one-on-one blocks. Oh my God. But it doesn't tell you how he finished the play, which we all know was a problem. So if you just use one set of data, if you just use one contextualized point of information, you're not going to get the whole story, right? I think it's fair when I say, hey, listen, use it as a bit of information, use it as a guide, use it as a, I didn't realize Luke McCaffrey had such great separation in week two, and really people might not realize that. Use it and then process it and figure out how to best use it with some level of common sense and context.
Our listeners appreciate you giving them a disclaimer as to how to use, because I know you weren't talking to me. You were talking to the listeners. Because I know how to use the numbers and the analytics. It is used for context.
Oh,
it's used to provide context, Chris Russell.
Yes,
context. So what we wanted to get to here, you mentioned if Washington struggles offensively Monday night, or for any week for that matter, Cliff Kingsbury is going to be the scapegoat. And I think that is so ridiculous. And the numbers, Chris, would tell you that Washington is, how would I put it? I would say they're out kicking their coverage when it comes to offense. Statistically, what they've been able to accomplish relative to EPA, relative to, now the points per game thing obviously is down, but in reality, Washington, let's just say this, they should have scored 26 at least against Tampa, mm-hmm. and you could have scored 40 last week.
Yeah.
So in reality, like, Washington's only averaging 20 and a half points per game. It's right around 17th in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But in reality, like, they should be a top 10 scoring offense in the first 2 weeks.
Well, absolutely. But I think people are going to look at the bottom line element of it all and say, oh, Cliff has to figure it out. Cliff has to do better in the red zone. Cliff has to come up with some magic formula and snap his finger and program the robots like everybody thinks that offensive and defensive coordinators
do. I'm a big believer that coaching has a significant impact on the outcome of games and process and all of that. But in the case of Washington offensively, I think Cliff is maximizing the talent. I think Cliff is getting the most he can based on the personnel he's got.
I think that's largely true. Some would say it's not true when it comes to Terry. Some would say it's not true when it comes to Diami.
The Terry discussion and the receiver discussion is so... It makes me want to punch the monitor in front of me. You guys understand, right? Jaden can't just force the football to Terry McLaurin. That's not the way the world works.
A lot of people don't understand that.
You all see that Malik Nabers had 18 targets because the Giants' offense sucks.
Well, they have no creativity. It's also because Malik Nabers is better than Terry McLaurin as a talent.
And they're making it a point of emphasis to move Nabers around because he by far is clearly their best offensive weapon. I don't think it's clear and obvious that Terry is this team's best offensive weapon. I think their best offensive weapons are the two guys that combined to crush the Giants last week, and Austin Ekeler and Brian Robinson.
That's fair.
That is who your offense should be run through.
That's fair.
Not Terry McLaurin.
All right, I want to get to how do the Commanders get the best from Jaden and the offense early on in the whole game. We'll do that right after the trending alert, and we'll start mixing in your phone calls on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, tonight at Capital One Arena and right here on the Team 980 just after 7 o'clock, it is Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever against the Washington Mystics. Mystics trying to get into the 8th and final playoff spot. They need some help. They need a win. They need everything. If they do, they would take on the New York Liberty in the first round of the playoffs. You can hear it all right here on the Team 980. Meanwhile, 8:15 tonight at MetLife Stadium, the New York Jets finally come home. Aaron Rodgers might play more than just four snaps, in a home Jets uniform. They host the New England Patriots. Both teams 1-1, 8:15 Eastern time. The kick there. The Jets have played three games by the time tonight is over in the span of 11 days. Nats got absolutely pummeled once again last night in New York, swept by the New York Mets, who needed it a lot more. Tonight, they're off to Wrigley Field in Chicago to kick off a four-game set. You can hear it, 106.7. The Fan, already a couple of games underway. Up the road in Camden Yards, San Francisco and Baltimore, 0-0 in the top of the second. Atlanta leads Cincinnati 1-0, and that's what's trending. All right, before we get to a couple of calls, we have more than a good feeling around here. Thanks again to everybody who brought in, CK ordered a bunch of pizza. So who brought in the cupcakes? Was that you, Manny? Was that, I don't know.
I think that might have been Athan.
Oh, Athan. Our guy Athan in Annapolis, or Austin in Annapolis, who also brought in the really cool Stone Cold signed leather vest thing that I'm just desperately trying to avoid getting anything on and getting it into a frame before I ruin it. But it is awesome. I'm going to put some pictures up. I got to figure all that out in a little bit. In case you're just joining us, Sam Cosmi will join us tomorrow afternoon around 3:30 instead of today because they had a scheduling thing come up as the team back on the practice field right now. Dan Quinn's already spoke to the media, spoken to the media earlier today. Here's what I wanted to ask you. How do the Commanders get the best out of Jaden Daniels and the offense all game long? Because I was sitting there in the press box on Sunday.
Chris, can I?
Let me set this up. I was sitting there in the press box on Sunday, and Jaden Daniels, I think, started 10 of 10, okay? And yet Hoffman is to my left, Paulson to my right, John Keim in front of us, JP near us, Ben Standing, Nikki, whatever. Got some pretty good football minds that pay attention.
Yes.
And I don't want to speak for everybody, but I know that Grant and Craig specifically and I were like, man, he's missing stuff. He is missing stuff.
Yeah.
This is not great. Despite the raw numbers, he missed stuff. All you have to do is watch that first drive to know what a mess the first half was, and it didn't get much better from there. Okay? It got a little bit better in spurts, but it didn't. Now, the second half, not mistake-free, but way, 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 way different. And a lot of people tried to put it was because he got popped in the ribs, so he stayed at home
that
more.
That has nothing to do with it.
You could stay at home, or you could leave. If you can't see, if you can't process, if you can't keep your eyes up, if you can't not read defenses, but if you can't anticipate throws and make throws into tighter windows in the NFL, on the move, in the pocket, whatever, you have no chance. That's part of what is going on with Bryce Young right now, if not a lot of it. So my question to you is, how do they get the best out of Jaden and the offense? It's not just a Jaden thing, but Jaden is the key cog. How do they get the best out of them from Jump Street, from minute one? Because they haven't in either of the two games.
I hate that. How this is going to be flipped by all of you out there. It's on Jaden. Cliff's doing everything in his power to ease him into the football game. There is quick game. There is RPO. There is screens out of the wazoo in both of these games to start. And for whatever reason, Jaden needs to get a little bit of oil running through the engine before he is before he's locked in. Chris Russell exclusive. But you get what I'm saying, though, right? I would put any amount of money on it that if you go back and chart the first half of each of these two games where he struggled in both of those first halves, the amount of quick game stuff, the amount of RPO, the screen stuff, it's they're running it more than any other team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, I got the number I told you I've been all geeked up with these numbers. There is a number in I'll get to it in a second, but bottom line is, here it is. 37.9% of Washington wide receiver targets have come behind the line of scrimmage. By far the highest rate in the league. The league average is 11%.
Mm-hmm.
That is Cliff Kingsbury.
That's more than three times the
more
amount.
More than three times. That's Cliff trying to get easy completions for Jaden to
get him
start
into a rhythm,
the game.
Get him confident, let the receivers make a play, what have you, and then mixing in the running game, obviously, to go along with that.
Now, I would say this. There are some folks out there, when I read the comments of some of the national pundits, that think that Washington's not even running a real offense. Like, that's some of the commentary out there, is that Washington's not running a real offense because of how passive they have been to start.
Yeah, this is the problem with all of these national pundits that believe that.
They don't know anything.
They don't know anything. They parachute in on games.
Yeah.
They have no context. It's like, again, what we were talking about with statistics and analytics. Sometimes they tell you the story.
Exactly.
Sometimes they don't tell you the story. They just give you a point of data, and there's no context where there's no surrounding, I guess, substance to it, right? And I think Matt Miller, who I have no problem with, right?
He's been the guy choosing to jump on.
Well, it's just because he's the one that I saw. But there have been others. You know,
for sure.
He played a hell of a game. Oh, he did. Nobody is saying that Jaden Daniels has played bad. But what people don't understand is there's so much to. When you run 69 plays in a game, there's so much nuance and so much context and so much everything that goes into it. You can't just look at a bunch of highlights. You can't just look at a bunch of statistics and go, oh, he's 10 of 10 to start. That's great. Right. Well, why is he 10 of 10 of start? Well, some would call it because it's a Mickey Mouse elementary school offense, and some would say, you know what? It's pretty damn smart.
Yeah, it is.
It's pretty damn smart.
This is why I think it's smart, and this has been the discussion that I've seen on my Twitter timeline this morning. The NFL defensively is showing more too high safety looks than we have seen in a long, long time.
Why is that?
Because they're scared to death of teams beating them over the top.
Absolutely. And they've seen it work against Patrick Mahomes over the last couple of years.
Who has been the king offensively here the past 5 years. And the counter for that offensively is to run the screen game, to get the running game involved, whatever you can to get these safeties to suck up to now make it easier to throw the ball over the top. But I think it's another – I don't think it's just the deep shots either, Chris, that they're trying to take away. I think these deep overs and crossing routes are a part of that too. You don't want to –
Well, we mentioned one the other day, yesterday, right? Mid-third quarter to Terry, right? I don't remember another deep over. I could be wrong,
it's
but I don't remember another
taken,
one.
It's one of those routes that have taken the league by storm. Yeah. It's all about creating confusion in your opposing defense's secondary.
Yep.
But I think, to answer your question, like there's nothing more Cliff can do. Like, in reality, so, to me, there's nothing more he can do.
I disagree slightly with that. Here's what I mean by that. What I think they need to do is
maybe more jet action, but I don't know.
They did a lot of jet action, in my opinion, on Sunday. I don't have the exact numbers, but all I saw was jet and eye candy, okay? Here's what they need to do, in my opinion. Run the ball absolutely. Cincinnati's been hurt a little bit running the ball. Okay.
Yeah, their run defense is not,
whether you go inside zone, outside zone, off tackle, pitch. I think they need to get Brian Robinson and specifically Austin Ekeler a little bit earlier untracked in terms of perimeter runs. Mm-hmm. That's me. Try and attack Trey Hendrickson. Try and wear his ass out a little bit. Try and make him a run defender as opposed to a pass rusher.
Well, right? For sure.
Get him in space, what have you. Now, that being said, I know, of course, some of that is elementary, some of that is obvious. The one thing that I think they need to do to get Jaden and get this offense on track early. We just talked about how many behind the line of scrimmage throws, how many easy throws, how many this, how many that, quick game, all of that. Take a bleeping shot on a deep post over the middle or a deep nine route. Just even if it doesn't work, you get in their mentality, psychology-wise, first or second drive. I would do it the first drive. Hey, we are not going to be all quick game. Hey, we are not going to be all horizontal. Hey, we are not going to be all lateral. We are going to stretch the field. Because that's what they did more of in the second half. And if I see that, if I'm Lou Anarumo and if I'm Cincinnati and I see that early on, I can't be jumping everything. I can't be over-anticipating all the horizontal game.
I agree with you, and I think there's a specific way that you do it, especially based on the way you ran the football last week. I'm coming out 13. I got Terry isolated.
When you say 13,
three
just
tight
so
end,
understand,
one running
right,
back,
exactly.
Three tight ends. Right. I'm making it a run-heavy look.
Mm-hmm. And then throw deep out of that?
Having an eight-man protection, and I'm taking a shot.
Okay.
And I'm throwing it no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, you could do this with two receivers. Right. I mean, you can line up Diami and Terry or...
I do
it could
agree
be
with
Terry
that,
and McCaffrey or whoever.
That could loosen up a defense and make them respect you vertically, but I think that they're doing that. But I don't think they're doing it in the way that we just listed out, going
did they do
heavy
it?
Personnel.
No, they're, but did they take the deep shot against the
Are you
Giants?
Talking about, when you say deep shot, are you talking about?
I'm talking about a deep post over the middle, like line up Terry on the right or the left side, and he runs basically a deep post over the middle, okay, towards basically the goalposts, and especially, again, if they're playing two safeties deep, right? Because they're trying to now, I don't think most teams are playing the Commanders two safeties deep all the time, right? Not like you would Mahomes, not like you would a Burrow, not like you would some of those guys. They're probably cheating upwards, right? And playing tighter and closer to the box.
That's what I think you
would
start to see.
To me, stretch that. Make them back off that safety so that it opens up not only your running game, but it also opens up, again, your horizontal, but also your second-level passing game. The second-level passing game is where your bread and butter is going to be in the NFL.
And
they hit it with Ertz, exactly. McLaurin on that one deep crosser that we mentioned, and a slant that they threw to Terry. I think that was the throw or the play after Jaden came back in after getting the wind knocked out of him. They hit, you know, Ertz, obviously, a bunch, as we mentioned. Again, I would say this. Why am I forgetting his name? There's Diami Brown and Noah Brown. Noah Brown also ran a, you know, like an in-cut route.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's the intermediate passing game by stretching the field. And
it opens that up.
Absolutely. But and I also it think, should theoretically open up the running game and the horizontal game as well.
But, Chris, I think the way Washington's looking at it is, yeah, we're opening that up as well by going quick game from the get-go, getting these defensive backs to be sucked
up. Are you?
They're not throwing it. It's there. It's open, Chris. That's my thing. It is open because teams are playing you, hey, they're not really going to test this vertical. Okay, we're going to squat on everything. And then that allows you to run these routes behind these defenders that are getting sucked up. Jaden's not throwing the ball. That's what
it is. I would agree that he's not throwing the ball in a lot
of
these
spots. And I'm not criticizing
him. And he doesn't want to turn the ball over, and he wants to get rid of the ball. I get it.
He can't do anything wrong in my eyes.
Well,
look, you can call me a jock sniffer, or a jock strap sniffer, whatever the hell you want to say. I think he is made up of all of the right stuff.
I agree.
And I would rather him be a little bit more conservative than throwing the ball in harm's way a bunch of different times.
I
think he's done a really nice job walking that fine line of, hey, when to press, when not to press. Now, I need him to let it go a little bit more. He's got to let it rip. And they talked about this. But I mentioned this, and we played the clip yesterday. You want them to take the vertical shots, yes. I think that is going to come if they continue to have success running the football out of these different personnel groupings.
That's fair.
They're running the football out of pistol. They're running the football out of your traditional shotgun runs, which I know Doc Walker hates. Jaden Daniels was under center a couple of times on Sunday. And this week in particular, against a Cincinnati pass rush that is led by Trey Hendrickson, who has been a man possessed to this point in the year, one, I'm putting him in the option series, similarly to how Philadelphia treats Michael Parsons. Mm-hmm. And then two, I'm running the ball right at Cincinnati. They've given up the seventh most rushing yards through the first 2 weeks of the season.
Well, and some of that, again, is stretching, not only running it directly at Hendrickson, but also trying to stretch
away
it a little
from
bit
him as well,
to wear him out, tire him out, make him make plays in space and reduce his effectiveness as a pass rusher. One other thing, real quickly, that I'll say. So far, they've been pretty good on third down offense. Not good on defense. Third down on offense. They are converting. And obviously some of this is how you get to a game where you don't punt at all.
Right.
They are converting on third down at almost 41%. That's over 4% higher than the NFL average. If they can convert 40% on Monday night, you keep Joe Burrow off the field, you keep running that oil again through the engine, you start making all of your parts look a little bit different. You can get creative. If you're in third and three or less more times than you are third and eight more times, you're going to be more successful from the jump. We got to take a timeout. We'll get to your calls, promise. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, little Tim McGraw. I've seen him in concert before. I think at FedEx or Commanders No, wait. Northwest Stadium. It's gone from FedEx Field to Commanders Field to Northwest Stadium in like the last 3 months. Good to have you aboard with us right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, along with the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. Let's get a call in here before the top of the hour. The best Bengals fan I know, if I could get the right mouse. Because
I got Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jeff, it's our week, baby.
I know. Jeff in Vienna, he's heading to Cincinnati for the Bengals and the Commanders on Monday night. What's up, Jeff?
Oh, happy birthday, Chris. If I'd known, I would have shot some ice cream. Would have shot some ice cream down there.
You've done enough for me. I appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate you. As always, just your friendship and your support means the world to me. Thank you.
That's very nice. So, yeah, I figure we got a little talk about Monday night. I think T went out to practice today, so somebody told me Emmanuel Forbes might not play.
Well, we don't know yet, but nobody thinks he's going to play, but with an extra day, maybe they can figure out something for him today. He obviously missed last week, and he had surgery last Thursday, or was it last Wednesday? I can't remember.
I wouldn't mind getting T matched up on him if they could force that somehow.
That's the rest of the league wants to do.
I'm sure Zach Taylor's very aware.
I will tell you this. Nobody knows the name. How do you say it? Zaveas? I was watching him the other day. Is it Zaveas?
Yosivas.
Andre Yosivas. You get him on Emmanuel Forbes, and it could be lights out. Hell, you put him on Mike Sanders still, it could be lights out.
I got Yoshi in all my fantasy leagues, and Gesicki, but you know, unfortunately, Gesicki had that big drop on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It was a big part of what killed us. So
that's what I worry about as much from a Cincinnati perspective as anything, because you know, like I would say, they don't have as good of a run game as they used to. With you know, again, Zach Moss in for Mixon. You know, everything going on with Joe Burrow's thumb and wrist and whatever is guys like Yosivas and guys like Gesicki, who's bounced around, who. You know, has had some has talent. He just hadn't been able to put it together. Guys like Jermaine Burton and breaking other people in the Commander secondary down.
God forbid Trent Irwin gets one-on-one.
Yeah, because all your focus is going to be on Jamar Chase and it, assuming that T. Higgins plays T. Higgins.
Well, we need Jamar to get his head out of his rear end, first of all, and get over whatever injustices he's field slighted about, and then, you know, move on from there. So that penalty on Sunday just destroyed us, which is not a good thing. And so I think be careful with those rushing number statistics. Like the first week against the Patriots was all bad tackling. I think Stevenson had 120 yards rushing, and 118 of those were after first contact. The first week was kind of an anomaly. I was there last weekend, and I thought they played a lot better. Joe's obviously a lot more confident, and it's like I was joking with Matt. Clearly, the Bengals aren't the second-best team in the league, but I think Goodell would wish that the Bengals and Chiefs could play about 15 out of the 17 NFL weeks.
Always a good Donnybrook, no doubt about it. And they were just a hair away. I mean, and you're right, the penalty, I mean, the pass interference, which obviously extended, just so many. And then Harrison Butker's got to make a mid-50s field goal. Not easy, right? Or you guys win. And it's a totally – I was rooting for Cincinnati to win because I think, he calls me a caged animal. Linnell does all the time. I think a caged animal, the Bengals in this case, is a really, really dangerous thing.
I think the stuff, you know, when it got down to guys commenting on how Joe was picking up a water bottle on the sideline, it kind of jumped the shark at that point in time. I think he feels a lot better. I think Monday night, you know, you're right. The problem with Hendrickson and Hubbard against the run is that they tend to forget all about contain and they tend to go straight for the passer. Yeah. Obviously, New England put up plenty of good film on us.
You can crease some outside zone, no doubt about it. Now, Cliff Kingsbury likes to run a lot of inside zone, so we will see what they get after. Enjoy the game. If we don't talk before then, thank you, my friend. Appreciate you. Got to run 159, Team 980. End of hour number one here on a Throwdown Thursday. And we haven't had that many throwdowns so far. Maybe that'll change coming up over the next 2 hours on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.